Okay, children, you may go. Michael, why have you got something around your neck? What is that? ASAP. Huh? Lifestyle event. Good. I'm glad you are. And where's the high chief? Yep. Okay. Dr. O'Carey. We're planning on going to Macrae, Georgia, right?
Yes.
And the Friday after camp. And tell them what we're going to do there.
On July 1st, it's going to be a one-day mission. As usual, it's going to be a medical mission and an evangelical mission at the same time. We'll be working with a Hispanic group, the migrant workers that will be there. We'll be reaching out mainly Christ to them. And those of them that have medical issues, so we'll take care of that as well.
Thank you very much. And we need medications, right?
That's right.
So if you know of people who have, what kinds of medications?
We're looking for diabetic medicine, blood pressure medicine, medicine for arthritis like Tylenol, Tylenol arthritis.
All right. So, it looks like from what we've heard from the people there in Macrae that and probably we could have a couple of hundred people that'll come to the clinic. So we're going to need help. We're hoping that Regina has contacted Regina Smith has contacted a dentist that we're hoping are going to get to go with us this time also. But be praying about it if you're interested in participating in that. It'll be a long day. Going to leave early in the morning and come back late at night. And that's after a week of camp. So, yes, sir. It's going to be. And by the way, on camp, the forms are on the website. Need to mail them in. And mail them in early because we turned people away last year. There's only so many beds there. Okay? So make sure you do that. And also, how many of you participated in the dance Resurrection Sunday? Came out to the park? Yes, sir. Wasn't it wonderful? It was a great, great thing. Yeah. It was just fun. And you just see the Lord just smiling down on us. It was just a great time in the park. We got to see Daniel bust a few moves out there on the... when you get out there with the hip-hop thing, if you're interested in seeing any of the video, John will have some of that. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. In fact, all day last Sunday was just a, Dane put it very well, a peaceful day, a great day of worship together. As you pray, I'd like for you to continue to remember my mom in your prayers. She's getting her appetite back, and she needs to get strengthened up so she can start chemotherapy. Also, we need to pray for Bo Ray. That is Janine Field's dad. He is in the hospital at Memorial Hospital. He had open heart surgery recently, but he's back in the hospital, had fluid in his lung, and problem with his kidneys, just a lot of things going on right now. If you could pray for him, we'd appreciate that a whole lot. And on the work day that we've got coming up, if you don't even have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time to come participate that, because we've got special things for special needs helpers that'll come and help us on that day. So we'd like for you to come out. Going to be a great time together, and we do promise you some burnt hot dogs. So, but for that day. Now, today I'm not using PowerPoint. You know, occasionally I just I like to go retro, and because you know that there may come a time when I don't have that, and. When it's not available to me, and we need to remember what it's like to open an actual physical book together. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me today. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Now, I have a question for you today. Why are things the way they are in your life today? Why are they? Look back. What is at the root of why you are like you are today? That's a pretty wide question, isn't it? Circumstances, choices, what time I grew up in. I was telling someone the other day, the way my grandparents looked at things, having gone through and been adults and raising a family during the Great Depression, it affected the way they looked at life, the way they looked at things. I'm looking at some of you here today that have wounds from your past. You have a father wound, some of you. Your dad was either not there at all, or when he was there, it wasn't right. Some of you have a mother wound. Some of you were deserted. Some of you grew up in a very legalistic atmosphere. Others here grew up in a very permissive atmosphere. You see how all these things can affect the way that you are today. But we'll read this passage today, and I want you to see something that I think we're missing. Okay? Beginning in verse 6, chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. In other words, a wisdom that comes from God. Is the wisdom of this age passing away right now? Huh? How about the financial advice you got in 2006? Was it good advice? Did it prepare you for the fall of 2008 and 9? I heard this economist the other day. He's trying to go back and redo history and make himself look good and act like he had given everybody good advice, but I know different because I can read history. Okay. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The wisdom, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined from the ages of glory. See, God's wisdom's been around a long time, hasn't it? And His wisdom continues on, no matter what the circumstances. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What if people really did understand that Jesus is Lord? Would life be different? That God's in charge. Would it be different? You know, how about all the people that think, well, you know, man has gone to the pinnacle of his understanding of things in the world, and man has so much knowledge that he can control the world. How about all those twisters? How much control did man have over that? That picture of that man talking about, he said, I went into my bathroom and I just hugged my toilet. And everything around me went away. You talk about feeling a loss of control. Verse 9. But just as is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. So even though we can't see all the things that God has prepared for, God has a lot of good things prepared for us. Great things prepared. And just because we can't see it, or we can't verbalize it, doesn't mean He hasn't got it planned for us. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And the same Spirit that searches all things reveals all those things to us. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. When he says we, I mean, he's talking about Christians. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, who baptizes us, who immerses us in Himself, who fills us with the very presence of God. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, let me stop there. We're going to come back to it. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So, to boil it down here, what he's saying is that God is speaking to us with spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But are we listening? Are we plugged in? What are we plugged into? Now, I have a demonstration for you. Whew. No, this isn't the one that my dad straightened out. Those of you that aren't at first, my dad was being weird at the park the other day and was pulling one of these behind his truck. He said to straighten it out. All right, now, here's an example of how we do business in the world today. We say, I need power. I got to get plugged in. Where can I get power? Huh? Well, here's one right here. Here you go. I'm going to plug into this one. But you know what? There's a problem with that particular outlet. I've plugged into an outlet that has no power. I know for a fact it's disconnected. It's there for looks. How many things are people in the United States of America plugging into today that have no power for the real issues of life? How many? A bunch. Now, here's another thing that we do. Oh, I need to plug in for power. Let me find something to plug into. Oh, here's an outlet. Let me plug in. What have I just done? I've plugged into myself. That's where a lot of people do business in America, right? I'm plugging into something. All the stuff in my life, I just need to get plugged into myself more, right? But then, well, maybe that isn't working, so I'm going to go get some more stuff that I can plug into, right? I've got to add some more stuff to my life. And so, hey, let me get plugged in. Whew. And now I feel all tangled up because I'm about to lose everything. I'm about to lose my voice. Look at this. It's a mess. I've just complicated my life, but I've got more stuff that's telling me I've got more power, right? You know, our economy right now, and the world economy, is stripping a lot of this stuff away. Isn't it? And it's saying, you know, you might better consider some real power and what man and what God intended man to really be. Let's read the next verses. Verse 14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Men away from God naturally, they're plugging into outlets that don't give power. And they're plugging into their own devices, their own stuff. And they look at the things of God and say, it's foolish. That stuff about God, do I really need God in my life? But look at the next verse. He says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. In other words, he's saying the spiritual man is looking at all the facts. Men naturally don't look at all the facts, do they? Now, I quoted to you last Sunday, Kenny and I were talking about it before the service, about this atheist that I had read on the internet week before last. And he's talking about the resurrection. And, you know, as a, my bachelor's degree is in history, and as a historian, I had to look at his presentation of information and say that it was flawed. And my principal reason for saying that it was flawed, because, to quote Paul, he had not appraised all things. He had not put everything on the table. He was not willing to look at all the information that was out there about Jesus. He was not willing to look at this book and say, no, this isn't one book. This is 66. Written over probably 1,500 years. 1,800 years. Maybe 2,000 years. Put together. And seeing the harmony of all that. Anything that smacked of God, he dismissed. If you're a true scientist, you've got to look at all the facts. The spiritual man, Paul says, appraises all things. He looks at everything. What does it say about him? Yet he himself is appraised of no one. He doesn't stand in judgment of anyone, because where has he put himself? Under whose cover has the spiritual man put himself? God's cover. He's realized that there's only one opinion that matters. Whose opinion is that? God's opinion. Does it really matter what the economists think? Does it matter what the politicians think? Does it matter what your next door neighbor thinks? At the end of the day, there's only one opinion that's going to stand, and that's God. And the spiritual man, the one who's placed himself under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, he sees that. Look at verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. So he's talking about a person who has given his life over to the Lord. He has received Christ into his life. That's the spiritual man. So there are two men that we so far have seen in this passage. This man as he is naturally, and that man is a man who's separated from God. And because he's separated from God, that means his thinking is separated from God. And he's acting like that. You know, we read the news, we read the newspaper, and we say, oh, people shouldn't be acting like that. Well, they're acting like who their God is. And who is their God? The prince of the power of the air. Because if you have not put yourself under the authority of God the Father, then whose authority are you under? Who has control over you? Your life. So we see two people, the people as they are naturally, away from God, and then the spiritual man, the man who has received Jesus into his life. He is under the influence of the Spirit of God because he has been baptized in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He has the Holy Spirit living in and through his life. He doesn't have to worry about what other people think because he really doesn't care what they think. Does he? Let me ask you something. Y'all read the story about the Chinese Christian we talked about last Sunday? Those Chinese Christians that we had 500 or so that were going to meet at that public park to worship. And when they got there on Resurrection Sunday morning, who was waiting there for them? The police, to keep them from meeting there. Well, let me ask you, do you think those Chinese Christians cared what those police thought? Do you think that entered their mind? Oh, I'm worried. I'm worried today that they're against us. No, sir. Do you think that those Chinese Christians thought in their mind that when they got to that place, that meeting place that day, that someone would not be waiting on them? Man, they knew it. They knew that in advance. And here is the world acting like the world. And what does the world do? It becomes a worldwide news story. Do you know what happened in their persecution? Their persecution, because they were kept from worshiping there. By the way, do you think it kept the 30 that were arrested from worshiping? What do you think they did the balance of the day? They were praising the Lord. They were like the Philippian jailer. You know, there they were. Whatever prison, whatever jailhouse they took them to, I guarantee you, if they sat them down by someone, I guarantee you that person got to hear about Jesus. And the story went around the world. Are you following me here? Are you seeing the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, is not concerned about what the world thinks? Big deal if you think that. I'm all about Jesus. That He loves me and that He loves you. Do you think those Chinese Christians were looking with hate on those who were arresting them? You know how they saw them? They saw them as potential Christians. Remember that story I told you? It's been over a year ago about the guy who went to the other country where no one wore shoes. And he went there as a shoe salesman. And after about 3 weeks, miserably failed, he comes back, loads back up, tells his company, I can't sell anybody shoes here because nobody wears shoes. They send out another guy. He mails back, wires back 2 weeks later. Send more shoes. Nobody here wears shoes. Do you see? It's all in how you look at it. Ooh. But I haven't gotten to the punchline yet. There's a dirty little secret in the next verse. And really, there should not be a chapter division there. By the way, just for information, chapter divisions in the Bible are not inspired. Okay? There's something man put on this word. Because this is all part of the same idea. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men. Now, he's already been speaking to them as Christians, right? We see that earlier. But now he's saying, but I can't speak to you like I could to spiritual, the way spiritual Christians ought to be acting. So, how does he speak to them? Let's see. I must speak to you as men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able yet to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not able, for you are still fleshly. One translation says, carnal. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Are you not walking like natural men? Now here's the kicker. There's the natural man away from Christ. There's the spiritual man, the man who's chosen Christ and is walking according to the way of Jesus. But then Paul addresses the people at Corinth like there's a third group. There are people who have given their lives to Jesus but aren't acting like it. They say the hit dog hollers. Any hollering going on right now? That's why the Apostle Paul would say over in the book of Romans, remember that passage in chapter 7? He says, the things that I want to do, I can't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because of the sin that dwells within me. Why? Because I'm walking as a carnal person. Why? Because I'm walking as a fleshly person. Why? Because I have taken myself out from under the cover of God. And so now I'm worrying about the opinions of man. Now I'm living a life that looks more like the life of a natural man, of a man separated from Christ, than the life of a man who has been sold out to Jesus. Where do you fit? Now, here's an opinion of mine. I think that most of what is done in the name of the church in the West, of which the United States of America is the premier piece of the West, is done in the name of making Christianity more palpable, more convenient, so that we can keep living a life out from under the cover of God, so we can keep living a life that is carnal and not spiritual. That's my opinion. Now take me to school. I challenge you. Take me to school and show me the evidence in the West where the church is not doing that. Show me the sweeping evidence that shows that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is sold out, that would be willing to go out to a public park and risk being arrested and have their freedom taken away. Risk being put in jail to have all their belongings taken away. You see, the bottom line is not what will you do with Jesus, what have you done with Him? Where is He? Is He the absolute, unadulterated Lord of your life? Now, as I preach this message today, I don't preach as a disconnected person. I preach with fingers, because I've already had opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do a little tap dance on my toes about all these issues, and it hasn't stopped. What have you done with Jesus? It was last week. Church buildings were packed with people. It's Friday. Sunday's coming. Sunday came. And now we're next Sunday. Where are we? I want to challenge you about a couple of things. Let the Spirit of God do an inventory of your life. Are you walking out from under His cover? Hey, we get 52 shots a year right here to gather as a family. 52. What are you doing with those? Hey, we have an opportunity to be involved in small groups with people and involve our lives with one another such that we can pour into one another's lives. How are we doing with that one? 3. How about our own personal evangelism? Are the people in our lives, do they know where we stand? I'm not talking about being in some obnoxious, you know, Bible thumper that beats people over the head, that trips them and stuffs track gospel tracks in the, and is obnoxious in the name of Jesus and has a Bible verse to quote with legalism as a hitman everywhere you go. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a genuine change of life that people can see, where there's kindness and love and compassion and real Christianity. Just like Jesus is living within us. And what are you doing with your time? To say at the end of the week, well, I don't have time for that. What else did you have time for during the week? Have you spent your time? What's the stuff you spent your time on? Don't come to the end of it and then start measuring it. You know, I got to do all these things and now I'm going to measure the last little bit out. No! How have I spent the whole wad? Thirty minutes here, an hour there. You see, that's why we as a church do not just overwhelm you with meetings. Because I believe they're worthless. They build a fortress mentality of the church where we stay behind these walls and we throw a few gospel grenades over into the world occasionally and bomb them out. That is not what God has called us to be. That's why when I say, and I want you to understand the theology of this, when I pray you out and send you out into the week, I send you out as duly deputized, baptized believers in Jesus who are to go out and love the world unconditionally and spend your life and your time investing in the lives of others. That's what it's about. That's what we're about as a body. Not about coming back over here and let's see how many we can jam in the pews here kind of thing. No. And when I say invest your life in the lives of others, not so they can come to this church, man, where they can be involved in the body of Christ, wherever that body of Christ meets. That's one of our values. So, getting to the root of your life, how'd you get to where you are? I have presented to you the life-changing details of how God can change you and make you a new person. And maybe, you know, maybe when the world sees you living differently, you'll become a sweet attraction to them. And you'll not have to talk anybody in to Jesus. You won't be able to keep them away. I was asking a guy several years ago to give me directions to a particular restaurant. I'd heard a testimony that the food was real good there. I'd not seen any advertising. I'd not seen anything. He said, and he started describing to me what part of town was in, and I got confused. I said, man, I just don't know. Do I turn right or turn left? And I'm trying to write it down. And finally, he said, man, he said, it's that direction. Just go till you see the crowd and smell the food. Now, I'm not giving an advertisement today for crowds that come on Sunday. They don't change anything. I'm giving an advertisement for people who gather a crowd where they are and where they're living their lives out. Go and draw a crowd so they can smell it. They can see it. One of those beautiful illustrations in the Old Testament is that our life would become a sweet-smelling savor to the nostrils of God. And if it's sweet to God, it'll be sweet to those around us. I'm going to ask you a dumb question. Do you understand what I've told you today? Do you understand me? Okay. We're not going to sing. I'm going to pray. And we're going to leave here armed with this message. I'm not going to invite you up here to pray. If you need to get together and pray with somebody or see somebody, you can see them after we're done as a group. Okay? Deal? Ready for me to pray for you? All right. Let's pray. The Lord, as we go from this place, I'm asking you that we would go in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news that changes lives, that we would go not as a carnal man, not as a natural man, but as a spiritual man who has given his life over to Jesus, who dwells under the cover of God. May your power be upon us. We love you. Lord, may we become a sweet-smelling savor to the people who are in our lives. In Jesus' name. We'd like to get your cards from you as you go. There's a basket in the back, basket up front. If you have an offering to bring, drop it in as you go. God bless you. Go in His grace.